ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
From the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, entitled Rahugana Converses with Jadbharat, text number 4.
Nivasatoya Dravinatma Buddhi Tatastato Dhavati Bhovatavyam Kvachiccha Vathyoti Tapam Sudhumra दिशो न जानाति रजस्वलाक्षः।
निवास एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय डियर किंग, द मर्चेंट ऑन द फॉरेस्ट पाथ ऑफ द मटेरियल वर्ल्ड, हिज इंटेलिजेंस विक्टिमाइज्ड बाय होम वेल्थ रिलेटिव्स एंड सो फोर्थ, रन्स फ्रॉम वन प्लेस टू अनदर इन सर्च ऑफ सक्सेस। Sometimes his eyes are covered by the dust of a whirlwind, that is to say, in his lust he is captivated by the beauty of his wife, thus his eyes are blinded and he cannot see where to go or what he is doing. Purport. It is said that household attraction resides in the wife because sex is the center of household life. Yan maithunadi grihamedi sukham hi tuchham. A materialistic person making his wife the center of attraction works very hard day and night. His only enjoyment in material life is sexual intercourse. Therefore, the karmis are attracted to women as friends or wives. Indeed, they cannot work without sex. Under the circumstances, the wife is compared to a whirlwind. As one looks forward to this opportunity, his eyes are overwhelmed by the beauty of his wife. Thus it is said that whirlwind covers the eyes with dust. Such a lusty person does not know that all his material activities are being observed by different demigods, especially the sun god, and being recorded for the karma of one's next body. Astrological calculations are called Jyotishastra, because the jyoti or effulgence in the material world comes from the different stars and planets. The science is called Jyotishastra, the science of the luminaries. By the calculations of jyoti, our future is indicated. In other words, all the luminaries, the stars, the sun and the moon witness the activities of the conditioned soul. Thus he is awarded a particular type of body. A lusty person whose eyes are covered by the dust of the whirlwind of material existence does not consider that his activities are being observed by different stars and planets and are being recorded. Not knowing this, the conditioned soul commits all kinds of sinful activities for the satisfaction of his lusty desires. My dear king, the merchant on the forest of the material world, his intelligence victimized by home, wealth, relatives and so forth, runs from one place to another in search of success. Sometimes his eyes are covered by the dust of a whirlwind, that is to say, in his lust he is captivated by the beauty of his wife. Thus his eyes are blinded and he cannot see where to go or what he is doing. A very important statement which Srila Prabhupada makes in his purport. A lusty person whose eyes are covered by the dust of the whirlwind of material existence does not at all consider that his activities are being observed by different stars and planets and are being recorded. Everything that a person sees in this world is ultimately based upon his perceptions, based upon his priorities, based upon his desires, and therefore reality is not seen by every person in the same way. Reality appears stark naked and bare to those who are very evolved in their consciousness, those whose desires are freed from the mentality of lording it over, will see truth for what it is, will see reality in its naked form. But all those people whose consciousness is pervaded with the desire to enjoy sense gratification, who is pervaded with the desire to enjoy independent of Krishna will never be able to see reality for what it is. And therefore, reality will always have different perceptions for different people. One time a teacher came to a classroom and brought a glass of whiskey. And the teacher took a worm and put this worm in the glass of whiskey and asked the students, "My dear students, what do you learn from this?" One student raised his hand and said, "Teacher, we learned that one should drink whiskey every day." So the teacher was quite surprised. What kind of an answer is this? Because she thought if the worm was put in the glass of whiskey and the worm was dead, then the students would say that one should not drink whiskey because look at what the detrimental effects are. The student asked the teacher to answer and justify. The student replied back by saying that my father has to spend so much money on giving me medicines to kill the worms in the stomach. So if I drink whiskey regularly, then all the worms in my stomach will be destroyed. So the same glass of whiskey and the worm be dead in the glass of whiskey can be perceived by two different people in two different ways. Someone can think one should drink whiskey because the worms in the belly are killed, and yet another could think that if one drinks whiskey, then it will have detrimental effects on our body. Radha Gopinath Prabhu gives example that one time there was one person limping in the street, and there were different doctors observing this person who was limping on the street. The orthopedic surgeon was thinking, "Oh, this fellow, I guess he has got some problem in his leg, some bone is broken or some fracture, therefore he is limping." The neurosurgeon thought maybe there is some neural problem, right? The nervous system is not working properly, some neural signals are not going, therefore he is limping. All different doctors had their different perceptions and they all went and they saw that his bata chappal was broken and therefore he was limping. So same situation can be observed and perceived in different way by different people. Reality is otherwise, and yet depending on what your desire is, what your situation is, what your consciousness is pervaded by, reality appears to be exactly different. It's all a matter of perceptions. Kaliyapani Prabhu once came here and he was giving a nice Bhagavatam class. He was mentioning that he was going to South Africa for preaching, and on his way, this was his break journey at Radha Gopinath Mandir. This may be 5-6 years back. And when he was leaving Mayapur to come to Calcutta and then take his flight to Bombay, he boarded the bus which was meant for life members. All different life members sitting in the bus, and Kaliyapani Prabhu was feeling very strongly from within that I should tell these life members about how Srila Prabhupada's mission is spreading in South Africa. He's a very reserved person though. He was mentioning he's very introvert and reserved and does not generally open out and speak to people. He sat in the bus and there was a strong drive from within, I must say something about Srila Prabhupada's mission in South Africa. However, his reserved nature, his introvert nature was a major hurdle and an obstacle in his speaking. He kept mum, he kept quiet. And from within there was a pushing that I should say something, but his nature did not allow him to do so. And as he was at the outskirts of Calcutta, it was only a few minutes more to reach the airport, he saw a huge billboard, a huge hoarding. He saw this hoarding and decided to speak. Got up and started speaking, very courageously started telling all of these people how the mission of Srila Prabhupada was spreading very well in South Africa. And then he came here and he was telling the story. He kept it a climax, what that billboard was. He told us the story that he started speaking and then finally he told what that billboard said. The billboard said, "Just why don't you talk?" And this was a billboard of Hutch Telecom, prepaid card, "Just why don't you talk?" Now if there is any materialistic person walking around, he would have analyzed prepaid card of Hutch Telecom, Hutchison. Which one is better? Airtel is better, Hutch is better, Reliance is better, Tata Indicom is better, BPL Mobile is better. Seeing the same billboard, a person can start perceiving and analyzing what would be the best prepaid card to buy. Yet there is a devotee who, when he sees this huge billboard, his situation, his desire was to talk about Krishna, and there was his nature which was impeding his service of speaking about Krishna. And as soon as he saw this, he perceived this billboard in an entirely different way and thought of how he should speak about Krishna. Thus, reality is something and it is perceived by different people in different ways. What could be a better book than Srimad Bhagavatam, which can present to us an entire thesis on consciousness studies? We have this subject matter of consciousness studies which is being taken up by several universities and deemed universities all over the world. What could be a better thesis on consciousness studies than the Srimad Bhagavatam? His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj at IIT once said that spiritual knowledge is state specific. Material knowledge is caliber specific and spiritual knowledge is state specific. Any material knowledge that we study doesn't have anything to do with the purity of our consciousness. Any material knowledge we study has a lot to do with our caliber. If we have a certain degree of caliber, whatever subject that is being taught to us, we'll be able to understand it regardless of whether we are pure in consciousness or impure in our consciousness. On the other hand, spiritual knowledge is not something which depends on the caliber of the student, which depends on the caliber of the audience who is listening to the discourses on spiritual subject matters. It is entirely dependent on the state of one's consciousness. Therefore, Devamrita Maharaj made this very striking statement that spiritual knowledge is state specific. Krishna and subject matters related to Krishna will be revealed to us based on the purity of our consciousness, based on the purity of our mind, based on the purity of our intent and our purpose in service to Krishna. It is not that the Srimad Bhagavatam will be understood by all students in the same way. It has a lot to do with consciousness. And therefore the reality of the world, the reality of Krishna, the reality of the subjects mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam will not be perceived by everyone in the same way. It will be perceived by each of us based on how evolved are we in the purity of our consciousness. And that's the reason, as I said, you will find in this thesis on consciousness studies, the Srimad Bhagavatam, examples of how people perceive different things in different ways. Right? People perceive the world in different ways. People perceive situations in their life in different ways. People perceive the Lord in different ways, based on what their consciousness is, based on what their desires are, based on what their situations are. In the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the episode of Maharaj Chitraketu. And in the episode of Maharaj Chitraketu, we are well aware and informed by Shukadeva Goswami of what happened to Chitraketu Maharaj when his son Harshashoka was killed, a victim of the envy of the co-wives of his queen Kritadyuti. Queen Kritadyuti and Maharaj Chitraketu were lamenting over the death of their single issue, Harshashoka. And as they were lamenting, Queen Kritadyuti was blaming Providence. Aho vidatha tvam ativa balako. Aho vidatha, O Providence, tvam ativa balako. You are nothing but an ordinary, insignificant, foolish, inexperienced child. O Providence, if you were not an ordinary, inexperienced, foolish, immature, infidel child, how is it that in the presence of the father, the son is dead? The father is still alive, Chitraketu is still alive, and the child Harshashoka is dead. O dear Vidhata, tvam ativa balako. You are simply a balak, inexperienced balak. So the son is dead, and look at what's happening to the queen, what's happening to this lady. So much is the attachment to the child, that she is perceiving Vidhata as a child. On the other hand, we find Draupadi, her son's being killed, and Draupadi is going to the extent of forgiving the person who is responsible for the killing of children. Look at what a drastic difference in consciousness. One person is blaming providence for the child being killed, and the other person is taking to such a virtuous quality of forgiveness. I know what the wife of Drona must have gone through. I know what it means to lose a child. I do not want the wife of Drona to go through the same pain as I am going through. I'll forgive Ashwatthama. And we find Arjuna's son being killed, Abhimanyu. And what's Arjuna's consciousness? Never mind, I will still continue with my service to Krishna. And we find Drona's son being killed. He just hears Ashwatthama Hataha. And simply hearing that his son is killed, he gives up his discharge of duties and sits on the chariot. What is it? Nothing but a difference of consciousness. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam how different people perceive the Lord based on their consciousness. We have the example of Narad Muni instructing the Prachetas. And what is Narad Muni telling the Prachetas? Yatha taror moola nishechanena tripyanti tatskanda bujo pashakha pranopahara chayatendriyanam tathaiva sarvarhanam achyutija. My dear Prachetas, the Lord is like the root of the tree. If you water the root of the tree, then sarva arahanam, all the different demigods will be completely satisfied, completely overwhelmed by the desire to serve Krishna. He is comparing Krishna to the root of the tree and all the parts of the tree to be like the demigods. So water the root, satisfy Krishna, and all the demigods will be satisfied. And then in the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a demon, Hiranyakashipu. Narad Muni's consciousness is overwhelmed with the desire to serve Krishna, and he is giving the analogy of the tree and the root of the tree. Hiranyakashipu's desire is overwhelmed with the desire to kill Vishnu, and he is also giving the same example of the root of the tree. And what does Hiranyakashipu say? Tasmin kute hite nashte kritta moola vanaspatau vitapa iva shushyanti Vishnu prana divaukasa. He says, tasmin kute hite nashte kritta moole vanaspatau. Vanaspata means a tree, and kritta moola means the root of the tree. Hiranyakashipu says, Vishnu prana divaukasa. Lord Vishnu is like the root of the tree, and divaukasa, all the demigods are like the parts of the tree, the leaves, the branches, exactly the same analogy. But what is Narad Muni saying when he uses this analogy? Tathaiva sarva arhanam. Everyone is worshipped. Achyuta ijya. When you worship Lord Achyuta, water the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree will be watered. And what is Hiranyakashipu saying? Tasmin ahite kule nashte. When the root of the tree is cut, then all the parts of the tree will automatically dry apart. Similarly, when Lord Vishnu's head is severed, then all the demigods will be shushyanti. They will wither away. Just see, the same thing, the same situation, how it is perceived in different ways based upon the desires of in which overwhelm one's consciousness. Narad Muni's desire is to serve Krishna. The same analogy is used to say one should serve Krishna and all the demigods will be worshipped. Hiranyakashipu's desire is to kill Vishnu, and the same analogy is understood as kill Vishnu and all the demigods will be destroyed. Krishna and Balaram came to Mathura, and when Krishna and Balaram were entering into the wrestling arena, How different people perceived Krishna in different ways based on their desires and consciousness is explained by Shukadeva Goswami.
Mallanam ashanirnam naravaro strinam smaro murtinam gopanam swajano satam kshiti bhujam shasta swapitro shishu mrityum bhojapatema avidusham tatvam param yoginam vrishninam paradaivateti vidito rangam gatah sa agrajah rangam gatah sa agrajah.
When Krishna entered into the wrestling arena, Agraja with his elder brother Balaram, how different people perceived that same absolute truth in different ways is explained by Shripad Shukadeva Goswami.
Mallanam Ashanir.
The wrestler saw Lord Krishna coming as a lightning bolt, Ashanir.
Nirnam Naravaro.
The males of Mathura saw Krishna as the best of males, Naravaraha.
Srinam smaro murtiman.
The women who were desired with their and obsessed with the desires of lust,
Srinam, they saw Krishna as the personification of Cupid.
Srinam smaro murtinam.
Gopanam.
All the cowherd boys and the cowherd men were standing. All the cowherd men saw Krishna as swajanaha, as their relative, because they saw Krishna simply as one of their relatives.
Asatam kshiti bhujam shasta.
All these so-called kings who were improper in their behavior, in their conduct, saw Krishna as Shiti Bhujam Shasta, the chastiser with the chastising rod in his hand.
Swapitro Shishu.
Nanda Baba, Jashoda Maya, Vasudev Devaki, all the parents saw him as their child, Shishu.
Mrityur Bhojapate.
Bhojapate King Kamsa saw Krishna as his death personified.
Avidusham,
the less intelligent people saw Krishna as the universal form.
Tatvam param yoginam,
those who were yogis saw Krishna as the Paramatma on whom to meditate.
Vrishninam paradaivateti,
Vrishnis saw Krishna as their worshipable master.
Rangam gato sa agrajah,
the same Supreme Lord Krishna, absolute truth, was perceived in different ways by different people based on their different desires which overwhelm their consciousness. So look at this wonderful book, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is such a wonderful thesis on consciousness studies, which talks not that you can understand Krishna in the same way, but which talks about how one can understand the subject matter of the Srimad Bhagavatam based on the state of one's consciousness. So material knowledge is caliber specific and spiritual knowledge is state specific. Michelangelo, working on these different paintings in a very famous chapel, in a very famous church, and it was time for him to paint Mother Mary with baby Jesus. Now he would want to have characters for his painting. He would want to have a lady who would look so innocent like Virgin Mary. And he was about to eat his lunch and his mother came and served him lunch. And he looked at the innocent face of his mother and thought, she is the one. She would be the best to pose for Mother Mary. And as he was walking around the streets, he found outside a liquor bar, a destitute child, innocent. Innocence on his face, he thought this would be the best for baby Jesus. So he brought this child. His mother held the child in her arms and Michelangelo painted baby Jesus in the arms of Mother Mary. Several years passed by. He had been working on different paintings of the life of Jesus. It was now time for him to paint the person who betrayed Jesus, Judas. Judas would have to have mean, selfish, cruel looks on his face. He was looking for a character who would pose for Judas. As Michelangelo was passing by, he came once again, coincidentally, across a liquor bar. There was a person completely drunk, sitting in the bar. He had those looks on his face, selfish, mean, cruel
He thought, who could be a better person to pose for Judas? He brought this man, saying, I would pay you far more and you can do what you like with that money. Come with me. This man came to the place where he was painting. And as Michelangelo was busy getting the canvas ready, busy getting the colors ready, this man was walking around and he came across the picture of Jesus in the arms of his mother Mary. He came back to Michelangelo and said, do you want to know something? That child who posed for Jesus is me. After a long period of time, look at what has happened to me. The innocence has gone and selfishness has come on my face. The cute, cuddly looks have gone and meanness has come on my face. The selfless looks have gone and selfishness is seen to pervade my very existence. Right. The moral of the story, both the divine and the demoniac reside within the personality of a person. Whether the divine will come up or the demoniac will be prominent depends on the kind of association we get, the kind of guidance we get. And therefore, how we perceive the world with divine vision or with demoniac vision will depend on whether we have got the guidance of a spiritual master or not. Once we come under the auspices of a spiritual master, there is a major paradigm shift that takes place in our life. The same situation, the same people, the same world around us, but the whirlwind, as Rahugan Maharaj is saying here, the whirlwind that had blinded our eyes is gone now. And our vision is no longer impeded, obstructed and hurdled in what we see. And thereby, reality appears to us for what it is. Right. Thus we chant, Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Salutes and obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes which were blinded by ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. And thus, I can now see life for what it is. I can now see life and reality in its stark, naked and bare form. Thus, when we see in our life practically what happens, everything is based on our consciousness. When we live in a community of devotees, we are oftentimes the victims of the envy of devotees. At least we perceive it that way. We are oftentimes victims of the so-called injustice that is hurled against us by devotees. We are oftentimes the victims of political conspiracies. We at least perceive it that way. But if we are practicing Krishna consciousness properly, if we have the association of devotees properly, then it will not just be based on our perception, we will get the vision to see reality for what it is. If we see faults in others, if we blame others for what comes on us, it is nothing but what our consciousness is pervaded with. If our consciousness is pervaded with faults, we are definitely going to see faults in others. If we are going to be simply playing the blame game, then every single thing that happens to us, we are going to hurl blame stones at others and say that he or she has been responsible for what we are going through in our life. All the sights, all the sounds, all the things that we perceive, again I say, is based on our consciousness. There was once two friends walking on the street, and one friend said to the other, it was a busy street with a lot of hustle bustle, said, can you hear the sound of that cricket? The other friend said, come on, how could you say that? Look at the hustle bustle on the street, the horns honking and people shouting, the hawkers yelling. How could you hear? He said, no, I am definitely hearing the sound of a cricket. And this man traced out the path and he actually found a cricket in trouble whom he released from that bush. The friend was surprised. He said, how could you hear that sound? You know, no person could possibly hear this sound. He said, you want to see how? this other friend took a coin out of his pocket and put it on the sidewalk. The coin jingled, made a little sound, came to a standstill. And at least 50 people turned behind to see whether it was their coin. And the friend said, just see, the sound of this coin was no less, maybe probably lesser or the same as the sound of a cricket. But everyone's consciousness is pervaded with what? Money. So as soon as they hear the jingling of the sound of a coin, they got my money, everyone turned behind. He whose consciousness is pervaded with a desire to help others, I could hear even the sound of a cricket. Right. So therefore, even when injustice, so-called injustice, so-called emotional hurt comes upon a devotee will simply take it as an opportunity to see how to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. A man once went to an art gallery. I was mentioning this example to a few students yesterday who asked me a question at the Nair Dental College. A man once came to an art gallery, and when he came to the art gallery, he was amazed to see a weird painting. What he saw was, there was a man flying in the sky. His face veiled over by his long hair and wings attached to his feet. A weird creature indeed. This person was amused, bewildered, confused. At the bottom of the painting was written the name of the painter along with his phone number. Called up the painter. Sir, amongst all the paintings that I see in this art gallery, your painting happens to surprise me and amuse me. Could you kindly oblige by explaining to me what this actually means? The painter said, this painting that I have made signifies opportunity. Opportunity comes and lies at the doorstep. But if you do not take it seriously, it flies away. Opportunity either lies or flies. It comes to us flying. If we don't recognize it, it goes away. And therefore, the long hair that has veiled the face does not allow you to recognize who the person is. Similarly, when opportunity comes in life, it is veiled. It takes the guise of blames. It takes the guise of difficulties. It takes the guise of problems. It is actually an opportunity to surrender to Krishna. But because it is veiled over by the guise of these things, we don't recognize it. And if we are not able to unveil and see that it is an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna, then it has wings on its feet. Very soon it flies away. So the man said, opportunity either lies or flies. It lies if you unveil it and recognize it and use it. And it flies if you don't recognize it, it goes away. And therefore, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj again and again quotes from Srila Prabhupada's teachings that do not blame the instrument of your karma. If our karma is coming back upon us through someone, he's simply being an instrument. We can perceive and say that this man is troubling me, this man is the cause of my trouble, and we can say it's my karma coming back upon me. Depending on what perception we choose, our destiny will be made in future. When I was mentioning this to a group of students recently, they said, but is it not that Krishna chooses that person who has the desire to trouble you to give what you are supposed to go through? You have your karma and you are supposed to go through someone, and it's a good attitude to say that my karma is coming through someone. Is it not that Krishna chooses that person who has envy, who has something against you? Exactly that person is chosen. Whether Krishna chooses a person who has some problem against us to give us our karma, or Krishna just inspires a good person who is nice to us to give us our karma, it's not our prerogative to decide. Like one devotee asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, is Srila Prabhupada a Nitya Siddha who has come here to give us guidance? Or is he a Nitya Baddha who has become Nitya Siddha by the practice of Krishna consciousness? And Tamal Krishna Maharaj writes in his book, Servant of Servant, that I shouldn't have done it, but I mustered up courage to write a letter to Srila Prabhupada to clarify this issue. Srila Prabhupada replied back. And in his reply, Srila Prabhupada said, whether a person becomes rich, he's poor and he becomes rich, or a person is rich from his birth, how much difference would it make to you? You take the money and utilize it. For you, what matters is he is rich. So whether he has become rich or he is already rich, doesn't matter. Srila Prabhupada explained, whether the spiritual master is a Nitya Siddha eternally from the beginning, or he was a Nitya Baddha and has become a Nitya Siddha, how does it matter to you? He is now a Nitya Siddha. Utilize his association and get the benefit. So how does it make difference whether Krishna has chosen someone who has that desire to trouble us and has troubled us, given us our karma, or he has just inspired someone from within the heart and has given us his karma? Doesn't make any difference. For us, it is always an opportunity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna and to do away with all the malice within our heart by making the proper perception. As regards that person, it is between him and Krishna, right? But for us, if we have taken the right stance, if we have taken the right attitude, our destiny is going to remain secure definitely, because we don't hold any grudges, grungies, or any kinds of malice within our heart for that person. And when we go through it and our heart has experienced so much emotional hurt and burns, we know for sure how emotionally broken can we be when we are not dealt with properly. Do not do it to others, right? At least we can learn this lesson and not repeat the same, because the general tendency is what comes upon us, we would want to do it on others. If a difficult question paper comes, then we know the teacher has been troubled before, you know. So what we have gone through, we would generally like to impose it on others. Look at how, if we take to this consciousness, the same situation can lead us to a wonderful place in the eternal abode of the Lord. And therefore, even the sex drive as is being spoken of here, this is a chapter which is entitled The Forest of Material Enjoyment. This world can be perceived by someone as the object of enjoyment, and the same world can be perceived as someone by an object which can take one back to Godhead. Right. Therefore, Chanakya Pandit says in his Niti Shastra, Eka Eka Padarthastu Tridha Bhavati Vikshita Kunapaha Kamini Mamsam Yogi Bhi Kami Bhi Shwabhi. Eka Eka Padarthastu. One Padartha, one object. Tridha Bhavati Vikshita. Three people are seeing it and they'll perceive it in different ways. And what is the object that is being perceived? A woman walking on the street, as Prabhupada is mentioning so elaborately in this purport today, of how a materialistic person wants to make a woman the object of his lusty desires. So a woman is walking on the street and three people are perceiving her: yogi bhi, a yogi, kami bhi, a lusty man, and shwabhi, a dog. What does a yogi, a transcendentalist see? Kunapaha. He says, oh, this is simply a same bag with the same substances inside, and takes detachment by seeing this woman. Kami bhi, a lusty man, he is seeing this woman, and what does he see? Kamini, she is the fulfillment of my lusty desires, I must have her. Shwabhi, a dog, what does he see? Mamsam, this is some flesh, my food is walking today. Till now my food was stationary, today I have seen my food is walking. Right? Same object being perceived in three different ways. Therefore, a devotee of the Lord, what does he do? He understands, this drive that has come within me, this lusty propensity, this entire world is meant for purification. I must use this lusty propensity also for my purification. If I take to the brahmachari ashram, then I must purify myself by tolerating it. If a person takes to the grihastha ashram, I must purify it by using it in Krishna's service. Dharma aviruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bharata rishabha. Krishna says, I am that lust if it is not contrary to religious principles. So a devotee will either purify himself by using this propensity, tolerating it, or using it in service to Krishna. Both will lead to purification. On the other hand, a materialistic person, for him, this is simply meant for enjoyment, and thus it is all a matter of perceptions which is impelled by the desire that overwhelm one's consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupad ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande. Are there any questions or comments? A little too much beyond my realization, but sorry. Just what, no time to prepare. Today morning I was told, so what was inside came out. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.